Good evening, beloved patrons of the Roleplay Patreon. You have journeyed a long way from the episode and found yourself here in a room with these nerds. Hi.
Hello, you sound everybody. So much sicker than you did when we did the show.
Dude, I am dying. Like in the
it just ramped the fuck up. Yes.
In the 15 minutes from the end of the episode, I think the Red Bull that I drank before the beginning of the episode wore off, and now my body's just like, go to hell, Adam. Just
crashing, yeah.
Yeah, I am burning up in the atmosphere, but it was a great episode. I had a good time. At least I'm going to die on a high note.
No!
So I want to talk about a couple of things. So, Jesse, way to make a thing that was like a totally pointless footnote, which is to say the ship, into something that is now, I'm like, that okay, it's a character now, I guess. Penny's a thing.
Yeah.
Chat loves Penny. I was not ready. I was not ready for that.
No, I'm excited about it. It's cool. So I think, yeah, I mean, as long as the ship and the Yagaran that pilots it is around, we'll just slightly, I'll up her intelligence and give her a personality, and you and Penny can interact.
Oh my god, it's gonna be like the movie Her.
She likes killing too. She's
I'm aware.
She's built to kill. So, yeah, yeah, I'm excited.
I don't though.
No.
No.
So, Jesse, I just before we move on from the Penny thing, how was the episode for you? You were kind of like on the other side of it for most of it. Like you were hanging out with my NPC being a shit disturber.
Great. I as much shit as there is to disturb, I will disturb it. I coming up with creative ways to break down and malfunction and be just a mess is always fun. And I on a personal note.
Yeah.
OOC. I enjoy messing with these three in ways you can't even truly comprehend. It makes me so happy to give them the shit, as you call it. And yeah, and it just amuses the hell out of me. There's nothing
That's
I
not
enjoy
even fair.
More.
How
That's not
well?
Even fair.
I mean, the important subsequent question is, how is it for everyone else?
It's not even fair. The rolls mess with me. You don't need to mess with me. Just ask That's me in true. A roll, and I'm gonna fail.
I did. I barely messed with you. I didn't have a chance to. You were on another ship.
Good.
Don't worry.
Now I know the key to not being messed with by you. Be on another ship.
That's somewhere else. That's accurate.
Or be a murderous person like you, even though I haven't murdered anybody yet, but whatever.
Yeah, then I'll just like you. It doesn't mean I won't try to kill you still, but I will apologize before your inevitable death. Like, you're one of the good ones.
What
you
are
have
you,
to
Stewie
die,
Griffin
but you're one
now?
Of the good ones.
You're Stewie Griffin?
You mean Don't Care Bear, my little tiny child?
That I brought you? You should be thankful.
I mean, yes, you are the mom of this terrible monster, so that's good. That's
much like...
Good.
Everything in my life only wants to kill, totally incapable of murder. It cannot do any harm, but it's beautiful and wonderful, and I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for futility. How was being reintroduced to the Yagarans? What was your okay, so up until the reveal of her identity, what was going through your head? What were you thinking about this character, this new huntress?
Chat was convinced it was your daughter.
Yeah.
Convinced.
I knew it wasn't. I was just I didn't know if it might have been Thuja's daughter who had like come for vengeance or something. Like that was like the extent of my reach. Either that or it was just another Yagaran. But yeah. I didn't think sister.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, yeah, younger sister, because like a bunch of stuff has been going on with the Yagarans since, right? Because basically, Thuja's quest, her like Yagaran blood debt or whatever, was to protect the hybrid, and then you made off with her, and now she doesn't know where she is, and now Thuja's missing, and it's bringing shame to her whole clan. So her little sister's like, no, fuck this shit. This is Rex's fault. Rex did this. I'm gonna get him.
Yeah.
And so that's been the thing. So now she found you.
I was torn between like eating her and just taking the ship.
Yeah.
But like you had already like named her and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there was an element of guilt there of like taking that character out of the equation, as opposed to like two mobsters walk up to you, one's named Raul, and I'm like, I eat them. Like that's a lot less on me,
right?
Than an established character.
So what you're saying is, I just need to like, I just need to dangle like a NPC on a stick for you, and then you'll eat it. You'll eat it, and then I can just focus on the ones I want to keep alive.
If the
and then every
NPC
episode
obstructs me in any way, and you have yet to give him backstory, I will eat him. Yes,
all right. I believe you. I believe you. So the next time Rex is like, I approach him, taking off my mask, and be like, "No, I have a wife and kids. My name is Frank."
Exactly.
I have a background, please.
The man behind Rex has a
I think I'm going to use that. I remember that for next time. Yeah, I was excited to bring her in. I've had her in my pocket for the last three episodes or so. So it was nice to bring that in now.
It's a weirder dynamic as old Rex, because young Rex, it would be like either I've been in a relationship with them or I'm going to be in a relationship with them. And well, that was like when you would introduce like a pivotal female role, and old Rex is like, I don't want any of that shit.
Yeah. Well, part of it too, to illustrate that Rex is old, is to surround him with younger people, right?
With younger people. Yeah.
It's really hard to have context and
constantly call him old man. Thanks.
Exactly.
For that.
Yeah. So you're surrounded by Artemis starts that, and then by putting other characters who are younger around you, it by extension makes Rex seem like older. It puts that context on him. So
yeah.
I thought that the conversation near the end with Artemis and that compel, the whole idea of like, everyone hates the people that I am, but I never did anything to you. Why do you hate me so much? And like coming to terms with the like lineage of like shitty behavior of your people. I think it's fascinating. I think it's a really cool, it's a really cool thing to be able to explore. Even in a game as like silly and weird as Nebula Jazz, it's nice to have moments where we can kind of like talk about that stuff. And then to give you the opportunity to be like, yeah, but you actually have the secret biological power to just like shut her down. And then see where you go with that. I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you get to glamour people now. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, I think that there's also like interesting repercussions for that in the future too. Because like, she's not entirely aware that she did it. So I kind of like the idea of her slowly realizing like, why are you suddenly so nice to me? Like trying to pick that apart. But yeah. Anything like that sort of makes it so that being a Mingasi either makes my life way harder or way easier, and being really confused by it. I think any role play opportunities like that are fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a whole weird narrative here, like a weird, like very kind of on the nose narrative about like privilege. And it like happened totally by accident. Like this episode, when we were having that conversation, I was like, oh, I see what's going on here. Like, yes, it's totally valid for you to be like, well, I didn't do anything to you. And for her to be like, yeah, but your people did. And then for you to be like, oh, I'm going to use my magic powers to make you do what I want. It's fascinating. I'm super interested in that, that dynamic. And how that's going to work, because I think that too we'll be able to learn more about Artemis as a person, which I think is something that I'm pretty fascinated about. It's fun when things, we have a little opportunity to kind of like spool stuff out instead of just being like, here's this episode's goof, all right, we'll never see that character again, here's another goofy thing that happens, never see them again. So these characters,
I think you might consider that for a stunt.
What's that?
Artemis is like,
oh yeah, just totally
glamoring. I think that might be really
Yeah, totally. Because basically, it's just we've seen this before, right? Like, this is the same thing that happened to Rex with the princess when you first saw her, right? Like that happened to you. And the real question about that stuff is, and this is a standard in like urban fantasy, like especially romantic urban fantasy, the idea of, well, do you love me because I'm magic, or do you actually love me? And like, no, because I'm so fucking magical. Right. So it creates this tension.
It's a standard fantasy trope. Yeah.
And let no one say that we leave any trope untroped, because we're all over that shit. Yeah. So, so you're arriving at Xanadu. Hopefully there'll be some answers there. What for you guys, for your characters, what do you think, like, what are you looking forward to, or what are you hoping there'll be an opportunity for when you get into this space? Because Pocket, like you were saying, your character is like, ooh, interesting. What are you thinking? Like, what, I mean, I'm asking this not just as a, like, I'm asking you out of curiosity, but as the GM, like, what kind of stuff do you want to see as an opportunity in that in the next bit?
Research.
What kind of research, though? Like,
without giving spoilers, because there's a lot of spoilers to be given about my character if I say what.
Kind sure. of give spoilers research. In this Patreon show.
Can I give a minor spoiler?
But it's sure. a spoiler for what's, us too. Like
what
we shouldn't
Sam
know,
is
right?
hoping to find is what Luna has been pursuing, which is probably not Sam, but Rex has been hoping to find is what Luna's been pursuing, and Rex might have an idea of that, which is why maybe she's there in the first place.
Right? Are you fucking? Is this Last Crusade and you're Elsa? Is that what's
no,
happening?
This is going to be like some like Rex level, like, I read your file shit.
Yeah. Like I read some of the shit you did.
Give me the grail, Indy, but I'm going to shut your dad.
Yeah.
I want your character to have like a fucked up backstory of like species splicing experimentation.
I need to go back and watch Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade again. Cause
I mean,
you meet the Emperor. She's like, I almost have it, Indy.
Yeah. It's totally the quest for the Grail, right? Because this power, you have a... I'm absolutely going to put it in a position where it's like, there's going to be a reason maybe not to take it. And like, whatever you find in there, it's not... You know me, it's not just going to be like, the thing, the quest that you went after, it's exactly the thing you expected it to be. And to be like, it's that thing that you wanted, but it's poisoned. Like, yeah. And then you have to make a hard decision about what to do with it, etc. So, yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm excited about that. That should be cool. So you have a secret agenda. Jesse is not the only one with secret agendas, apparently, in this group.
That's why maybe Basil and Luna are gonna start getting along really well because they both realize they have secret agendas, and perhaps they're not the most humane agendas for everybody.
Look, Pocket knows one of my secrets now.
Basil, for you, I mean, the Mingasi are known among many circles as being the engineers of the greatest weapon the universe has ever seen. So, you know, wandering into their kind of techno graveyard might be useful for you.
Yep.
Anything other than that you're particularly interested in?
Oh, no, I am convinced we're all about to go die. This sure. is a terrible idea. Despite my interest in what may be there, I am not okay with this.
Right. Right. For your own sake. You don't want to get...
I don't want to die. The rest of them, if they want to go on this foolhardy mission, they can, but... No. This is terrible.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Cool. And obviously we know why Rex is there.
I kind of want, like, a bit of old Rex to come back in this.
So young Rex.
Young Rex, you mean? Yeah.
I mean the old Rex, not old Rex as a noun. Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm hoping for a little bit more.
Like a little bit of the like touch nothing but the lamp situation. Like,
yeah, because like, I mean, Rex to a degree has been steering the story the whole time. Yeah. And I think it would be cool to have the story be steered in a tangent by someone else, and then have Rex just have his like, all right, I'm just gonna bite heads and punch people phase.
Yeah,
I think he needs that.
Yeah, there'll be some scrapping to do, I'm sure. And so for you, Artemis, are you just like for now just like following along and trying to get Rex to love you, or maybe are you starting to like be interested in your, because you're the Mingasi, right? You're kind of coming home, and I love that bit at the end where you're saying that like your response was awe in the face of this thing. So what are you thinking for the next kind of act for you?
I think for the first time I'm really interested in what I can find out, because I sort of wanted to distance myself from information about Mingasi and like thinking about them, because all I ever heard was terrible things, right?
Yeah. So my like devil's bargain for Artemis is going to be about presenting maybe it was a grave injustice to rob the universe of the Mingasi. Maybe here presented is the beauteous art and technology that is now gone from the universe. And guess whose fault that is?
Right.
Your friend Rex, right? Like Yeah. It's for me, it's all about presenting those sort of, like, you can have what you want, but you're gonna have to pay for it. Or like, here's a kind of devil's bargain for that thing that you're so excited about. Yeah, I'm excited for this next arc. And like Jesse said, we've done a few episodes of goofing around to get there, and now we're very much on track. So I think
I have some questions for you, Adam.
At least the next episode's gonna be chill. But yeah, me.
So obviously, like, you the name of Xanadu was established nearly 5 episodes ago.
It was, yes.
So has Xanadu as a place always been, is it always existed for you? Like, it was just how we got there? Or is it, did this place come to be literally in this episode?
I mean, I've had some ideas of what it might be like, and I have some general ideas of what it is, but that's shifted and changed in my mind over time. I'm giving myself some space to kind of mess around with it. I will say this for people who are interested, because Xanadu is referenced a great deal in popular music and poetry and whatever. But I will say this, if you're interested in learning my origins for the name of the place, I would remind you to remember that I am from Canada. I will give you that clue, audience.
I thought you were going to say on cold medication.
No, my Canadian-ness is relevant in terms of Xanadu. So
your vision of Xanadu.
I will leave these breadcrumbs for you to discover. But yeah, I've had some general ideas. I knew I wanted it to be a Shangri-La kind of heaven like place that to most people didn't exist. Again, it's a very Indiana Jones thing, right? Like,
yeah.
The Holy Grail isn't real, but you know, the PCs get to actually find the thing. So it's just this mythical place, and we'll figure out the details. I have some ideas, but
I like the idea that Rex is here for something, and he feels like he's assembled a team and he's paid them, but really everyone has like a very different motive for this place. And
yeah,
that's gonna maybe come out next episode. I think it's cool.
Mm. Yeah, I'm excited. It should be cool. All right. Well, I'm gonna go lie down and
go rest up, dude.
Not diet because I got Court of Swords tomorrow. But thank you for another lovely episode, everybody, and thank you patrons for hanging out and for watching and for supporting us. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Bye-bye, bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.